champ is here.
It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the fantasy football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Brees throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the fantasy football champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs here on Patriots.com Radio. I'm Bill Enright, and my partner in crime is Todd DeVries. What's up, Todd?
Not much, my friend. What's the countdown at now? 23 days.
That is correct, my man. 23 days until 2013 NFL season kicks off. I know we're both excited.
Baltimore at the Broncos.
That's right. A little rematch from last year's playoff game, sure.
I tell you what, Bill. We kind of bashed that Hall of Fame game. The Cowboys-Dolphins game last week, because it was just a stinker. That extra preseason game, these teams just could care less.
Right.
But last weekend, I have to admit, I was kind of pleasantly surprised by some of the action I saw in preseason. There were some interesting games.
There certainly was, and we'll get to a little bit of a recap, including that Patriots-Eagles preseason matchup. And, of course, we're looking at it from a fantasy football angle, because that's what we do here on the Fantasy Football Champs.
Yeah, there's a lot of stock going up and stock going down based upon just one performance in a meaningless preseason game, we got to talk to the audience about keeping their expectations in check. Don't believe the hype. Don't get too worried about certain pieces of news. Don't get too excited when Chris Johnson goes 58 yards on one run. Right, Bill?
Yeah, man. That was a pretty good run.
It was a good run, but all I'm hearing about is how he's going to go for 2,000 yards again. I'm just like, whoa, easy.
Yeah, let's take it easy.
He had three carries in the game.
Okay. Yeah.
Please.
We're just getting started here, we want to give a quick shout-out to our producer, Kevin Collins, making the magic happen behind the scenes. Kevin, I hope everything's good over there up there in Gillette Stadium.
Life is good.
Good to hear.
Kevin, when are your fantasy drafts? You got them scheduled yet?
One is I think they're both going to be the night of September 3rd. I know one is locked in, and we're trying to make them both that night.
September 3rd. So that'll be a show day for us, a Tuesday.
Yeah, I think they're like for 8 o'clock that night.
Oh, nice.
Perfect. We'll lead you right up to draft to your draft.
Help me draft.
I also have a draft that night. I think mine's at 7:30. Nice. So we'll be getting off the air here, and then we'll go right to our own draft. So, doing our own thing.
That works. Now, how did you do last year in your league, Kevin?
I lost in the championship in one league, and then the other one, I was the last one out of the playoffs. I was like 6 out of 12.
Nice.
7 out of 12, excuse me.
Nice. Well,
I was tied for 6, but lost the tiebreaker.
We weren't on air last year to get everyone prepared for their fantasy drafts. We were on air, I think, one or two episodes last season, maybe the last week of August. So I think Kevin had already drafted his team. Am I correct in that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
So, I'm not... I don't want to take credit for him finishing second, but I also don't want to take any of the blame for him missing the playoffs.
Yeah, but we helped him overhaul his crappy team.
The waiver wire.
During the year. Yeah.
It's all about the waiver wire during the season.
Thanks for the compliment. You helped my crappy team. I like that.
Yeah. We took a look at the team you had built, and, it needed an overhaul. So it took, 13, 14 weeks to get it done, but we got you into the playoffs in that one league at least.
No, I appreciate it. You got me in the money.
The truth of the matter is we want to help everyone win their fantasy football leagues, because that's what we do right here on the Fantasy Football Champs. You can give us a call, 855-728-7500, 855-PATS500. Send us an email, webradio@patriots.com, and you can hit us up on Twitter, @FFChamps. A lot of ways that you can interact with us. We can give you the best strategy as possible. So just pick up the phone. Again, 855-728-7500. We got a jam-packed show today, Todd, as we do 2 hours here on Patriots.com Radio. Today's theme is going to be value. We love making value picks. Value, value, value. That's what it's about when it comes to building a solid, successful fantasy football team. Am I right?
Absolutely, man. If you draft smartly, you're going to see guys fall in your lap. If you follow our 10 commandments that we went over last week, you wait on a quarterback, you covet thy stud wide receiver, and you load up on running backs early.
Yep.
You're going to see the middle rounds is where you really show off your stuff. That's where you get the value, Bill, the middle and late rounds.
So how do you identify value? Well, we're going to help you do it. We have the commandment number 5, as you mentioned, wait on your quarterback at ffchamps.com. We have the ADP, the average draft position matrix, that is exclusive to ffchamps.com members. And we also have some articles that basically spell it out for you. The ADP over and undervalued players that my man Mike Leitz wrote up earlier in the week. We have the undervalued sleeper reports for all positions, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. You can find it all at ffchamps.com. So if you're serious about winning your league, you're going to want to check out FF Champs and sign up, because we help you win. And that's what it's all about when it comes to fantasy football. You want to win, and that's what we help you do.
You know what, Bill? And not only is the content, you know, obviously stellar, but I got to tell you, the drafting tools on FF Champs, pretty sweet. I actually had a draft on Sunday night, believe it or not. Way too early, but there's nothing I could do about it. I was in the league. It's a neighborhood league. But I brought my laptop with me, and everyone thought I was a total dork, right?
Yeah.
But what I had was the FF Champs, the draft tracker.
Oh, tool. Okay. Yeah.
So what you do is all of the tools that you have online, you can bring offline. I wasn't even plugged into the internet there. And you just pop the – as the picks come on off the board, I'm in the room with 10 other guys, you know. Then, you know, I'm plopping in the picks, and it's showing me where the value is on the cheat sheets. It's all plugged in to the draft tracker. It was really cool. So, like, when I'm in the middle of the draft and nobody knows how many wide receivers they have or how many wide receivers their opponents have,
right?
It's all right in front of me. I really had an advantage. Actually, one guy behind me was trying to peek a little bit. So
we try to make it as easy as possible. The draft tracker is a great tool for one of those reasons you just mentioned, Todd. Not only does it have the cheat sheets, our rankings, the schedules, depth charts. If you're looking for, I don't know, the second string running back in the 15th round of your draft, we got the depth charts on the draft tracker. But it keeps you organized. So if you're drafting out of the 3 spot, you know if the person in the 2 or the 4 spot that are, you know, next to you, your neighbors in the draft process, you know what positions they have already. So you can kind of make your strategy based off what other people are going to be doing around you. It's a really big help, and I wouldn't be able to draft my championship squads without it.
Nah, man, I'm telling you, it's just it sure beats the hell out of having that, you know, printed out cheat sheet and trying to write down who picked who and cross them off the list. This all does it with just a click of the button. Awesome stuff.
All right, so that's the value you get when you become an FFChamps.com member, and I think it's 50% off for Patriots.com listeners. So right now it's $29.95, a great deal if you're serious about winning your league this year. I mentioned Jam Pack Show today. It's all about value. In addition to revealing some of our value players, we're also going to go over that first week of preseason games, Todd, especially with a focus on the Patriots and the Eagles. How did Kembrell Tompkins do? How did Aaron Dobson look? What kind of impact can they have for your fantasy team? We're going to be discussing that. And also, big news out of Kansas City, Todd. Chiefs running back Jamaal Charles went down with a foot injury. At first, we weren't really sure how serious it was, but the news came back, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Is Jamaal Charles still a top 5, maybe a top 3 pick in fantasy football? We'll jump into that discussion a little bit later on in the show.
Yeah, and you know what? We'll have a little sidebar discussion about just the power, the pros and cons of Twitter. Because when that news came down, the middle of the day, you know, Twitter just blew up with all sorts of crazy rumors. So we'll have a little talk about that too.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy yesterday on Twitter. I mean, that's what happens, though. You know, people want instant reaction, and they certainly got it. Whether or not it was accurate information
everyone wants to be first. You know, they want to be first, whether they're right or not. And some people just throw a dart against the wall and hope that they're right, you know, when the actual real news comes down a couple hours later.
So, Todd, we mentioned that today's theme is going to be value. We want to know what your best pick. If you're listening right now, give us a call, 855-728-7500. We want to know what your best pick, your best value pick from 2012 was. And also, we want to know if you have any sleepers in mind for 2013. We'll certainly get into our sleepers for this year. But let's give some background information about how much value really plays into building a championship team. Let's talk about some of our picks from last year, our value picks from last year. Let's start off with running backs, because you know that's really how you build a solid foundation with the running back position. Last year, 2 rookies came into the league. They were both getting a lot of hype, one maybe a little bit more than others. That's, of course, Doug Martin for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Trent Richardson for the Cleveland Browns. Last year, Todd, Trent Richardson was going in the second round, maybe early, late first if you're in a 12 or 14 team league. Doug Martin for the Bucs, he was going in the fourth or the fifth round. People were still high on him, but looked at him more like a running back two, whereas Trent Richardson was considered a running back one. And what ended up happening?
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, you really got to – here's the deal. The general perception is you have a running back from Alabama and a running back from Boise State.
Yeah.
Right? Who's going to be – who's the guy that's on national TV every single week?
Trent Richardson.
And, of course, and I agree. All things being equal, Trent Richardson is a better prospect in my mind than Doug Martin. If they were both on the same team, for example, whatever.
Right.
Trent's the guy. However, you know, the landing spots, the Browns' landing spot for Trent, a little sketchy. You know, mm-hmm. not many weapons around him, coaching disarray in Cleveland. Doug Martin landed at a perfect spot. He had no competition for the number one job.
Right.
And his head coach was new coach Greg Schiano, who at Rutgers would run his running backs into the ground.
Sure
right?
did.
He had Ray Rice at Rutgers, and he gave him 300-400 carries a year. He didn't care.
Yeah.
So we loved that marriage there for Doug Martin. So kind of last preseason, we were preaching that these guys are pretty equal, but the difference was the value. Like you said, if both guys were projected to be pretty equal, who would you rather have, Trent in the second or Doug Martin in the fourth or fifth round? And I didn't wind up having Trent in any of my leagues. I wound up having Doug Martin in half of my leagues.
Yep.
And it worked out even better than we thought because Doug Martin significantly outproduced Trent Richardson. So, you know, that's just one example, hearkening back to last year, of, you know, the value. And again, we can identify a lot of these going into draft season. This wasn't something that we looked at the end of the year. We identified this last August.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes everything at FFChamp so great. You know, we're not just here talking on the radio. We basically give you a roadmap, a blueprint of what you guys should be doing, and that helps you out. You know, we don't tell you what to do. We make suggestions. And if you follow our suggestions, the chances are of you having success are highly likely.
Yeah, so why don't we do this, Bill? Let's keep going with some examples of value picks from last season, so everyone, cause that's kind of top of mind for everyone.
Sure.
And then later in the show, we'll start identifying the value comparisons this draft season.
Okay, that sounds good. Let's move over. We just did running backs. Doug Martin, again, fourth or fifth ADP last year. Trent Richardson, second round ADP. We told you to go with Doug Martin. That paid big dividends. How about what we tell everyone with quarterbacks, Todd? We always say wait on your quarterbacks. Instead of taking Drew Brees in the first or the second round or Aaron Rodgers, we wanted everyone to take a chance on a rookie that we really liked in Robert Griffin III.
Yes, my strategy last year, Bill, was wait on a quarterback until the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round, depending on the league.
Yep.
And my goal last year, I was really, really high on the rookie class. This year, I'm not at all. But last year, really high in the rookie class, Luck and RG3. We weren't really sure about Russell Wilson at the time. I'll admit that. We weren't sure about his situation. So I actually waited until the 8th, 9th round. Then I went back-to-back, and I grabbed them both.
Right? Smart man.
I thought that at least one – I kind of had a feeling both would pan out, but I had a feeling at least one of them was going to pan out. We thought RG3 would have the better season last year because of his running ability.
Right.
But over the long haul, perhaps Andrew Luck might be the better, like, keeper quarterback. Anyway,
right.
I grabbed both of them. Worked out great. Right? So when I grab those guys in the 8th, 9th, 10th rounds, what am I doing in the first 7 rounds? I'm loading up in all the skill positions that are thin. The running backs, wide receivers. You know, I was 3-4 deep at those positions, and I had quarterbacks that were more than serviceable. Guys that I was getting as like the 11th, 12th, 13th quarterback off the board last year that produced as what? RG3 was what, a top 5 quarterback?
For, I think, 14 out of 15 weeks of the season.
Yeah. Yep.
He was the top quarterback for, I think, 13 or 14 weeks out of the season. Outplayed Drew Brees. When I say outplayed, I mean in fantasy football. He outscored him. Had more points than Brady. Had more points than Peyton Manning. Had more points than Aaron Rodgers. Because he did it on the ground just like Mike Vick did 2 years ago. When you have that dual threat quarterback, you know, in fantasy football, that's what we look for.
And here's the deal, Bill. There's a term out there. A lot of you guys are listening right now are familiar with. It's called value-based drafting, and that's kind of what we're talking about here a little bit, right?
Yep.
If you're in a 10-team or 12-team league where you start one quarterback and you start three running backs, okay? Let's say you're in a 10-team league. How many quarterbacks are started each week? 10. The difference between the number one guy, say an Aaron Rodgers, and the number 10 guy, say it was RG3 last year in the preseason, right?
Yep.
The difference between the 1 and the 10 is not as significant as the running backs, 1 to 30, comparing like Adrian Peterson to whoever the 30th guy is.
Right.
It's a huge disparity. Huge. So if you can load up and get 3 of the top 20 running backs, you know, you're much better off and then waiting on your quarterback.
Absolutely. And again, the value with RG3 over someone like Drew Brees, that's why we wait on our quarterbacks. It's one of our biggest rules. You can find the 10 commandments for winning fantasy football at ffchamps.com. It's something that we preach every week because it's so important.
Yeah, hey, let's move over to the wide receivers because this is another interesting example, Bill.
Sure.
One other way to identify value is to look at guys that kind of disappointed the year before who are, you know, poised to rebound.
Bounce back guys.
Reggie Wayne had been a consistent producer in Indianapolis for years and years and years. In 2011, he had a terrible year by his standards. And the reason why was a guy named Peyton Manning didn't play that year, right?
Right.
His stats went in the toilet. However, the 2012, they had a promising young rookie who we thought would come in and be a major upgrade over the slop that they were starting in 2011. So we kind of knew that Reggie Wayne was going to bounce back. However, the rest of the general public kind of thought he was maybe over the hill.
Yeah.
So what happened? What was his ADP last August, Reggie
Wayne? Last year, you could have grabbed Reggie Wayne in the 6th or the 7th round in any kind of league, any format.
Okay, and there's another wide receiver who's been very comparable to Reggie Wayne over the years, Andre Johnson from Houston.
Yep.
Usually, you know, up until a year or two ago, they would go neck and neck. You know, they'd always be drafted kind of right around each other, right?
Andre Johnson was the Calvin Johnson before Calvin Johnson was around.
Yes. So what was Andre Johnson's ADP last year?
End of the 2nd, beginning, very, very beginning of the 3rd round.
Okay. So if you were smart, you looked at the value, it was pretty easy to predict Reggie Wayne was going to have a bounce back season, right?
If you believed in Andrew Luck like we did, of course it was.
Yes. So what's the better value? In hindsight, of course.
Of course, it's Reggie Wayne. And you know what? In the PPR league, they finished with very similar stats. In fact, they both had over 100 receptions. They both had over 1,300 yards. Reggie Wayne had 5 touchdowns. Andre Johnson had 4 touchdowns. But guess who got the better pick? Even though they finished with the same stats, the guy that drafted Reggie Wayne in the 7th or 8th round got the better pick than compared to the guy that drafted Andre Johnson in the late 2nd.
Right. No-brainer. And the last example here, let's go to the tight end real quick, right?
Yeah.
Last year, preseason, Jimmy Graham and Gronk were going in the 2nd round, maybe 3rd round, depending on your league.
Right.
It was the two of them and everybody else, right?
Yep.
Guy named Tony Gonzalez.
Maybe you heard of him.
Maybe you've heard of him.
He's been in the league 16 years.
He was going in, what, the 9th, 10th round?
Yep.
Right, last year. And why was that? Why? Because his numbers have been going up the past couple of years. He had 70 catches, then 80 catches. Why did everyone think he was going to fall off the face of the earth? Because of the age thing? Because Julio Jones was supposed to eat up all the touches?
Exactly, what? Todd. Exactly. He was getting up there in age. He said it was going to be his last year. People thought he was kind of over the hill. Plus, they had two dynamic wide receivers in Roddy White and Julio Jones. And people didn't know if there were enough balls to go around in Atlanta for Tony Gonzalez to be productive.
Well, how did it work out?
Huh, I'll tell you how it worked out, Todd. It worked out with Rob Gronkowski finishing with double-digit touchdowns but missing significant time. Jimmy Graham still finished as the number one tight end, but he missed significant time with an ankle injury. Tony Gonzalez finished just almost equal stats to Jimmy Graham. Both of them had 90 catches. Both of them had 900 yards. I think Jimmy Graham had a couple more touchdowns. But Gonzo was a guy that you took in the 10th or 12th round when all the other tight ends were off the board already. Gonzo was a guy that some managers probably reluctantly took if you didn't listen to this show. But we were all over him. We loved Tony G last year. He's on an explosive Atlanta offense. We only thought that could be more, that could be better for his production because of Matt Ryan's progress with Julio Jones and Roddy White. And Tony G basically was there for 16 weeks where Graham and Gronk weren't there week in and week out. So Tony G, clearly the better pick when you're talking about value.
Totally agree. Well, let's look at this year real quick. And we're going to identify some more value later.
Sure.
Look at the ADPs this year, man. Tony G, 6th round ADP right now.
Again, he's so undervalued.
I know. Jimmy Graham, second round. Gronk, late third.
Yep. It's crazy.
So who would you rather have? Jimmy in the second round or Gonzo in the sixth, if you could pick?
Gonzo in the sixth?
Of course.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer.
I just don't get it. I mean, you know, that Atlanta offense is going to be out of this world once again. He's a key piece. He's not going to just go in the tank.
Again, those were our 2012 picks. Those were our 2012 value picks. We're going to reveal our 2013 value picks in just a little bit. But, Todd, what do you say we go to the phone lines, 855-728-7500? Steve in Pasadena, California, is patiently waiting about his 10-team keeper league. What's going on, Steven? Thanks for calling into the Fantasy Football Champs. Steven, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on, Steve?
No, I just wanted to give you guys a call. It's actually a 12 team keeper league, actually.
Okay.
And I'm kind of concerned because it is a keeper league to have three players under contract, and I'm kind of concerned because between these three players I have, it accounts for 54% of my cap. So I'm still eligible to make some trades, or, you know, I'm trying to get some pools to trade some of these players out. But the three players that I have right now for this upcoming year are Wes Welker, Andre Johnson, and Vernon Davis. And like I said, those three players alone count for 54% of my cap. So what do you guys think?
That seems like a lot, Steve. And do you have the option of only keeping one of them or maybe throwing them all back into the pool?
Well, some of these owners are kind of idiots, so I'm sure I could squeeze my way out of a couple of these players, but I don't know which one is the only one that I should really keep.
Is it PPR?
No, it's not.
I'm not keeping Wes Welker then. We'll start off there. We'll start off with Wes Welker. Not going to keep him if it's a PPR league. Depending on how many tight ends are available, I don't know if I'm going to keep Vernon Davis, especially if he's coming at a high price. And then Andre Johnson, you may want to keep him because it's really the only viable candidate that you seem to have here. But what's his cost?
All right, let's see. The total cap is 31, and he is going to cost me $205 this year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Wes Welker is going to cost me $200, and Vernon Davis, $130.
Todd, what are you thinking?
Well, Steven, how many – 12-team league, right?
Yeah.
Roughly how many players do you anticipate will be kept in this league? If you added up all 12 teams, how many players are going to be off the board before you start your draft this year?
Our league is really weird. It has a rookie draft, then it has an auction. Then at whatever is left after the auction, I mean, we just voted in the auction players for this year. After that, then there's a regular snake draft.
Wow.
So it's pretty slim picking after the draft. They still allow trades after the draft, but once the season starts, I mean, you know, it's whatever slim pickings you have in free agency, that's all you have.
I got to be honest with you, Steven. I don't like the makeup of your team. If it's a non-PPR and 54% of your salary cap is tied up with Welker on a new team and aging Andre Johnson and Vernon Davis, I don't know, man. I'm not loving the foundation.
Yeah, you're going to have a rough outing, Steven. I mean, I don't know if I would suggest keeping any of these guys, especially if it's slim pickings in that snake draft. I mean, you might want to keep Vernon Davis just because he's only $130. Save your money, save your budget, and then use them for some other quality running backs or some deep sleepers that we'll get into a little bit later in the show. Because Andre Johnson and Wes Welker just aren't value, and we're talking about value on today's show. They're just not valuable picks. Based on that budget that you, based on their price,
based on the fact that it's not PPR, and Bill, you and I have talked about it. We love about there's like 30 wide receivers that are viable this year. 30.
Yeah.
These two guys are kind of middle of the pack. So,
right.
And I can't imagine that, and because of their name value, Welker and Andre, I'm sure that they're maybe overpriced a little bit in his salary cap.
Right.
Where there's other guys you could probably get, you know. Torrey Smith, Colston, Garcon, you know, just to name a couple, Amendola maybe even, who maybe Knicks, you know. I don't know how many of those guys would be kept by other owners, but
right.
I got to think that their salaries might be a little bit lower.
Stephen, we appreciate the call. Let's move over to Richard in West Virginia. He's in a 10-team PPR league. What's going on, Richard?
Hey, guys. How are you guys?
Doing great. What you got?
So I got a two-part question for you. So I'm in the 10-team PPR league format, and I have a keeper, which is Doug Martin, and basically I just lose my third-round pick for it.
Nice.
Yep.
And I'm going to be drafting number two overall, and so I was thinking, like, for my first pick, should I go with a running back since I already have Doug in the third, or should I go with, like, a Megatron and go ahead and get that wide receiver?
How many keepers are you allowed to have?
Well, just the one.
Okay. So who do you think?
Doug Martin's my only keeper for this year.
Right. Well, I guess what I'm asking is, who do you think might be available at number two, running backs or wide receivers? Who do you think might be on
the
board?
The other guys, they're not very good at this, but the only other running back is AP.
That's being kept?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bill, it's PPR. He's got Doug Martin, who we love in PPR. In fact, he might be the number one. He might actually have the edge on Adrian Peterson. I know that sounds crazy, but in a PPR, you could certainly make that argument that he's more valuable. He catches more balls out of the backfield than AP. So he's set with Dougie Martin. The question is, at number two, first of all, I'm thinking he goes running back again.
I think so as well.
Yeah. So the question is, who do you take there? Do you, you know, if everyone's on the board except for AP, do you go Arian Foster? Do you go Jamal Charles? Do you go, who do you take there?
Richard, when's your draft?
It's right before the first season game.
All right, Perfect. Good. So by that time, we'll know if Arian Foster is healthy and if he's going to play in week one. And maybe, hopefully, we'll be able to see him in at least one preseason game. Right now, he's been out with the shin and, the calf in the back strain. So I think if Arian Foster is proclaimed to be 100%, that's got to be your guy. If he's not, I would go Jamal Charles. Love what Jamal Charles is going to do in Andy Reid's offense this year. And we'll get to an injury update on Jamal Charles in just a bit. But here's a quick little preview. He's fine. You have nothing to worry about. Jamal Charles is my guy in the PPR format.
Yeah, and, I mean, I'm looking at
around.
Go ahead, Todd.
No, you go ahead, Steven.
Richard.
Richard.
Sorry. Richard, what do you got on the way back around?
Oh, on the way back around in the second round, do I go with a Jimmy Graham or something like that?
What do you think, Bill? I mean, second, if you've got Doug Martin and either Arian Foster or Jamal Charles on your team, you know, there's no need to take running back. Obviously, you go top wide receiver off the board. You maybe be the guy that takes the early stab at Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, PPR. Rich, I'm going to pass on Jimmy Graham just because we just discussed how good Tony Gonzalez is, and you can get him in the sixth round. So, to me, that's not valuable when you're taking Jimmy Graham in the second. I would absolutely scoop up a wide receiver, Brandon Marshall, Demaryius Thomas, Julio Jones, Dez Bryant.
Okay.
AJ Green. How could I forget AJ Green? Other than Calvin Johnson, those are my five wide receivers that I'm targeting in the second round. With Doug Martin and Jamal Charles or Arian Foster already on your team, you're locked and set at running back. Go for that wide receiver in the second round, my man.
Roger that. All right. Hey, thanks, guys. I listened to you guys all year last year, and you guys really helped me out, and I'm definitely subscribing this year. So.
All right,
Richard, you're the man.
We appreciate that, my man. Best of luck to you. Talk to you soon. We'd love to hear from that kind of caller, Todd. You know, someone that is not only a listener last year, but they're serious about winning. They're going to go over at ffchamps.com and sign up for 2013. We help people win. That's what we do. That's what we love to do. That's what we're here for.
And man, and my God, I mean, again, that's a caller that has Doug Martin as a keeper in the third round.
Yep.
Woo.
Can't go wrong there. Cannot go wrong there.
Nope.
All right, we got a jam-packed show today, so we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to continue with our value picks for 2013, reveal some sleepers at quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. Who are the value guys for this year? You're going to stay tuned to Fantasy Football Champs to find out. You're listening to Patriots.com Radio.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back. Tight end. Or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo sacks at Gerard Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of the summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in at 508-298-0398.
That's right. Bill and Todd coming at you with the fantasy football champs here on Patriots.com radio. 2013 undervalued players, Todd. That is the theme of the day. You want to draft value when making your selections during your fantasy football draft.
Oh, absolutely, Bill. And there's no better value if you play your cards right and you listen to us and our Ten Commandments. No better value than at the quarterback position.
And let's start off with our most undervalued quarterback of 2013. Get down your pen and pencil ready, folks. Pen and paper, whatever you're using. I don't care if you have to chalk on a chalkboard. Matthew Stafford, write the name down. That is who you should want to draft this year, because not only is he going to be a top five quarterback by the year by the end of the year, but he's going to be drafted in the eighth or ninth rounds of your fantasy draft. You want to talk value, Todd. How about the value that comes along with Matthew Stafford?
Right now, if you're looking at the ADP matrix on ffchamps.com, he's the ninth quarterback being selected in leagues. Ninth, and that's in the eighth round.
You got guys like Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, who is going to be on this value list. We'll talk about him in just a second. But with Matthew Stafford, the value is this, Todd. You said he's going to come off the board in the ninth round or in the eighth round. Think about who his weapons are this year compared to what he was dealing with last year. Okay? They got Reggie Bush in the background, perfectly capable of catching 70-plus passes this year.
Yeah, one of the best pass-receiving running backs in the league.
Sure.
Huge upgrade.
Ryan Broyles and Nate Burleson, both coming back healthy after suffering season-ending injuries in 2012. Both of them very capable wide receivers.
Broyles is one of my favorite was one of my favorite rookies last year before he got hurt, and he's the leading reception guy in the entire history of college football. He has more catches than anyone in the history of college football. Former Oklahoma Sooner. Love Ryan Broyles.
You got tight end Brandon Pettigrew, who
serviceable,
solid tight end in the league. And then, oh, by the way, you have the number one, the best, the dominant, the machine-like Megatron, Calvin Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the problem with Matthew Stafford last year wasn't his yards. He had 4,900 yards, which was top five finish, top three finish, actually, for the amount of yards. It was his touchdowns. He only had 20 passing touchdowns. Now, Calvin Johnson got tackled five times inside the five-yard line. So that, to me, is five touchdowns automatically added to 2013, because I don't think Calvin is getting dragged down inside the five any time this year.
All right, and then you add three or four to Reggie Bush. You add an extra couple for the improved wide receivers two and three, and suddenly you're over 30.
And then all of a sudden, you have the same amount of yards because Stafford's going to throw the ball over 700 times again. He had 727 passing attempts last year. So you're looking at maybe 5,000 yards. You're looking at 30, 35 touchdowns. Oh, by the way, Stafford ran for four touchdowns last year. I don't know if he'll be doing that again this year. But you have to add that into the equation. And all of a sudden, you're looking at a guy that is passing like Drew Brees, getting the same kind of fantasy points as Drew Brees, but he's taken eight rounds after Drew Brees is being drafted.
Here's the deal. We just talked about in the last segment how you've got to identify guys that are going to rebound, right?
Yep.
How's this for a rebound? 2011... All right, Stafford, 5,038 yards passing, 41 touchdown passes. All right, last year, almost identical in the yards, 4,967, so he had 60 less yards. And his touchdowns, like you said, dropped all the way down from 41 to 20. He's at least going to split the difference this year and throw for 30-plus touchdowns. There's no way around it.
Totally agree.
So this is a classic rebound. But the beautiful thing is nobody – there aren't many people out there expecting a rebound from him because of his. They'll look at the stats, they'll look online, they'll look in their little magazine, and they're going to see Stafford threw 20 touchdowns last year. They're going to go, oh, my God, look at all these other guys that threw more than that. He's going to rebound in a huge way. Stafford is a bargain, a steal in the eighth, ninth round.
Totally believe it. Who else is a steal at the quarterback position? How about our guy Robert Griffin III, RG3? Now, Todd, he had a great year last year. In fact, he had a top five year last year. But the reason why RG3 is being so undervalued right now is he's coming off ACL surgery, and he's kind of bickering back and forth in the media or via the media with his coach Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, that's who cares about any of that?
Well, I'm just saying that's why people are kind of turning their shoulder.
I think that it's more because of the knee injury. I mean, this guy, it's funny because you're right. His ADP, he's right above Stafford now. Okay, if you look at the ADP, he's one slot ahead of Stafford right now, and the eighth quarterback being taken across the country.
Yep.
And honestly, if you had told me this 2 months ago, I'd be shocked because he's such a huge name just by name recognition, I thought he would have been much higher than this. But yeah. I think people are really concerned about the knee. Maybe not that it's going to keep him out for any amount of time this year. I think everyone thinks he's going to start week one. I think they all think that he's not going to run anymore, you know, and they're worried about that. I'll tell you what, there's just certain guys, Bill, that are just super freaks.
Yeah,
okay?
He's one of them.
He's a super freak, man. I can't doubt him. He went through ACL surgery back in college, and I followed the college game very closely, and he wore this giant bulky brace in spring practice, and they weren't sure if he was going to ever run again like he used to run at Baylor. Yep. And what does he do? He goes out and closes off his college career with a Heisman Trophy. So this is a guy that can rebound a lot like Adrian Peterson. He's had plenty of time to recuperate. I think he's going to be just fine. Will he put up the exact same rushing stats as last year? Probably not.
Maybe not.
Yeah, but he rushed for 815 yards, 7 touchdowns last year. I don't think he'll rush for, you know, I don't think he'll put up those numbers again. But he doesn't have to, Bill, because he's going to get better in the passing game. People right. underestimate. This guy is so efficient, so razor sharp in the passing game. He's going to get better and better there. He only threw for 3,200 yards last year, Bill. That's going to go way up this year. His touchdown passes are going to go up from 20 to, I don't know, mid-20s probably.
Yep.
So I think he'll more than overcompensate for perhaps a downgrade in the rushing department. And, you know, I think that we talk about him being a value pick. I do think in some leagues, Bill, there'll be one guy in your draft room that will take him probably too high.
Right.
In some leagues. So I don't know that he's going to be there like a Stafford in every league. I don't know if he's going to slide to you or not in every league. Like, I have a much better feeling that Stafford's going to be there for you in the middle rounds than RG3, only because of the name recognition. Do you know what I mean?
I totally agree, yeah.
And all it takes is that one guy, you know? Right. Now, if that one guy already overdrafted Drew Brees, then that's how RG3 will slide to you in the middle rounds.
Right, right. And also, I just want to add that you mentioned RG3's passing stats from last year. His number one receiver, Pierre Garçon, was out most of the year.
Yep.
So you think about him being back in the mix, and yeah, those passing stats are going to go up big time.
Yep, and then if you really want to break it down, the last four games of the year where he kind of tailed off a little bit fantasy wise, he was hurt. Mm-hmm. Right. He'd already re-injured his knee, and his last four games he's kind of gimping around, if you remember.
Right.
Yeah, before the playoff game, and he totally injured it in the playoff game. But so I expect a bigger and better year out of RG3 this year. Who else do we want to talk about from the quarterback position, Bill?
How about Colin Kaepernick from the San Francisco 49ers, Todd? Like RG3, Kaepernick is a dual threat. He's a guy that took over for Alex Smith last year. We didn't see him for a full season, and I think that's why fantasy managers are a little bit worried about drafting him. But with a seventh-round ADP, he's going after Matt Stafford in the majority of leagues out there. He's the ninth quarterback being taken in fantasy leagues.
That's amazing.
And he could be a guy that could be a top five player.
I don't get this one. Again, you know, he's such a huge, sexy name. He has the top-selling jersey in the country.
Right.
You know, you would think that just by name recognition, and, you know, he's an up-and-coming guy, that he would go much earlier. So it's shocking to me that his ADP winds up being as the 10th quarterback being taken across the country. I don't get it.
You know, people maybe are looking at him like a risk. He only played in 10 games. They want to see him start a full 16-game schedule. But I think that's BS, man. I think he showed enough by taking his team to the friggin' Super Bowl that he can play in all 16 games. He can be an efficient passer and a great runner.
Well, think of it this way, Bill. Let's forget about the Staffords, RG3s, and Kaepernicks. They're kind of all the same, right? We mm-hmm. like them all.
Yeah.
There's 10 guys. If you're in a 10-team league, maybe these guys, the RG3s, Staffords, and Kaepernicks, are dropping just because everyone else has taken quarterbacks earlier. someone's got to be the 10th quarterback taken, right? Whether
right.
it's Cap, whether it's Stafford, whether it's RG3, someone's going to be the 10th quarterback taken. And nobody's going to take two quarterbacks, you know, in the first five or six rounds. The point is there are 10, 11, maybe even 12 quarterbacks that we love this year. There's no reason to grab one early. You're going to get an RG3, a Stafford, a Kaepernick, a Romo. You're going to get them in the middle rounds just by default.
Yeah, totally.
Do you know what I mean?
I think
that's part of the reason why these big-name guys, like in any other year, I mean, think about it. This time last year, Bill, we didn't have RG3, Luck, or Kaepernick, or Russell Wilson in the mix. So you went from maybe having 12 guys that you'd feel real comfortable with to 8.
Right.
And that's kind of changes the ballgame. But now you got 12. Everyone can wait. You know, everyone can wait on a quarterback and get a really good one. So The ADPs, it just shows you, man, you're going to get good value if you play your cards right with the quarterback position.
It's okay if you're the last person in your league to draft a quarterback. 10 or 12 team league, it is perfectly okay to be the last guy that announces a quarterback's name when it's your turn to draft. Because you'll end up with maybe a Colin Kaepernick or Matt Stafford or even a Tony Romo or RG3. You know, we didn't even discuss Tony Romo, but he's another guy that's coming off late in boards that had impressive numbers last year, finished in the top six for quarterbacks, and he's a guy that's being taken, what, as in the ninth round this year?
Ninth round. Don't be
afraid to be the last person in your league to draft a quarterback. There's 12 solid guys. If you're in a 10-team or a 12-team league, it's perfectly okay to be that last person.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
Let's go to the phone lines where Matt in New York is on is waiting for us. I believe he wants to draft Tom Brady, and we're going to talk him out of it right now. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great, man. What do you got for us today?
Okay, I was in a 12-person league, and it got changed to a 16-person league this year.
Okay.
And with the number 7 pick, I ended up having Adrian Peterson as my keeper.
Nice.
Which I thought, taking him at 7th overall, I mean, it's a no-brainer to not keep him.
Totally.
And then by the time I came back up again in the second round, which is like, what, 25 picks later, I got Brady in the second round. Mm-hmm. I know it's like early to go for a quarterback, but there was a lot of quarterbacks being kept that year. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about it.
What's your scoring system for quarterbacks?
For like a passing touchdown?
Yeah.
We do 6 points for a passing touchdown. Every 25 yards is 1 point.
Is it PPR?
Yes, it is. It's half a point for a catch.
Brady wasn't being kept? Who were some of the other quarterbacks being kept?
Someone got lucky, and they got Colin Kaepernick as a keeper, which was undrafted.
Right.
For the last year since Alex Smith was there.
Right.
But so by the time I was already up, Breeze got picked. Rodgers got picked. Someone slipped up and took Manning early.
See, to be honest with you, Matt, I would have held off on Brady because even in a 16-team league, I think you still could have got someone like Phillip Rivers, who had 26 touchdowns last year and has a brand-new head coach who loves throwing the football, or even a Carson Palmer with Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd expected to take a big jump and to have Bruce Arians as the head coach who loves to pass the football. You know, who did you end up as your second running back?
I ended up getting Bradshaw pretty late, which I thought was a good pick at where I got him.
Let me ask you this question. Who else was on the board when you took Brady? Who were the running backs and wide receivers on the board at that time? Do you remember?
Well, I know, like, the big names were gone. Like, Calvin Johnson was gone. A.J. Green was gone. Marshawn Lynch. C.J. Spiller. They were all off the board. Ray Rice was all gone. Like, I'm a huge Brady fan, so I always try to get him every year, even if I have to reach for him a little bit.
You know,
I know that's kind of like a biased pick, so it's kind of hard to.
Well, let's make sure we state this out loud. While a lot of people before the preseason game have been down on Brady, we are not. We still think he'll be a top 5 fantasy quarterback. So that's not why we're saying, you know, you avoid Brady. It's more just from everything we just talked about prior to the phone call here was, you know, you can wait on a quarterback and still get a good one. Now, again, he's in a 16-teamer where quarterback touchdown passes are worth 6 points. Most leagues are 4. So that does help him a little bit, Bill, but I think it would have been interesting to see who he could have gotten if he'd waited another couple rounds.
Right. I mean, Matt, you can't be the last you can't be the last person to take a quarterback in a 16-team league. Don't get me wrong. Brady's a solid quarterback. We have him in the top 5. He's our number 4 at ffchamps.com. But the reason why we say wait on quarterbacks is because we feel like it's just not value in the second round to take a guy like Tom Brady, because now you have Ahmad Bradshaw as your second running back, and he hasn't been healthy since, you know, the last time I had hair, which was like 2004. So you're really going to be pulling strings to try to get a running back this year.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
Yeah. Who are your wide receivers?
I have Jordy Nelson, which it was before he got hurt.
Yeah,
so about 2 weeks ago.
That's another reason why we tell everyone to wait on their drafts, man. You know, you draft a guy like Jordy Nelson, expect him to be the Packers' number one, and then boom, he's out with knee surgery and he's going to miss the entire preseason. Who else you got besides Jordy?
I just feel like in a 16-person league, there's always going to be a weak spot on someone's team.
Yeah.
Who else do you have a wide receiver?
I got Colston.
That's good.
Sidney Rice. I mean, my team's not great, but with a 16-person league, everyone's team is just about average. No one has, like my one friend has good wide receivers, but he ended up with two rookie running backs, which really sucks.
Let me ask you this.
Not Le'Veon Bell and Giovanni Bernard.
Yeah, those are pretty solid, a 16-teamer. Let me ask you this, Matt. I don't know if you'll remember this or not, but when did, you know, the Tony Romos of the world, the Staffords of the world, Russell Wilson, do you remember where they were drafted? What round? Were they in, like, the third, fourth round, or did they go earlier than that?
I think they're in about the fifth round in my league with 16 people.
Oh,
I know my situation is really different, being, like, such a big Brady fan. I just wanted to make sure I got him early.
But, Matt, I mean, do you want to be a Tom Brady fan on Sunday, or do you want to root for your fantasy team? You have to make the distinction, because you can do both. You cannot have Tom Brady on your fantasy team and still root for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a requirement to draft Brady just because you like him. It's not. You know,
Bill,
if you're a big-time Patriots fan and you want to draft, I don't know, their kicker every year, you're not going to jump up in the fifth round and take Steven Gostkowski just because you like the way he kicks footballs. I mean, there's a difference between being a smart fantasy football manager and wanting to draft with your heart. And sometimes you have to just listen to your brain, my man.
At the second round, it was a good value pick. Because by the time I would have got up again, I feel like he would have been gone.
Yeah, he would have been, and it's not a good value pick. Tony Romo was lasted in the fifth round. That's where you should have grabbed the QB, dude. Try to make a trade. You're going to need another running back other than Ahmad Bradshaw. You just are. Adrian Peterson can only carry you so far.
Yeah, man, I was looking at all the other teams, and no one has, like, two stud running backs since it's 16 people.
It could have been you.
Yeah, I mean, that draft was just really weird. People were reaching on a lot of players, it seemed, at some point.
Listen, man, for your sake, I hope Jordy Nelson comes back healthy, because Marquise Colston, Tom Brady, and Adrian Peterson are a really good, you know, three-headed monster, but that's only going to get you so far in your league. You're going to have to get some really good guys on the waiver wire. Make sure you listen to the show. We'll be, with you for the regular season, advising you who to pick up off the waiver wire. Even a 16-team league, there's got to be a few guys out there. Matt, we do appreciate your call. And, you know, Todd, it's just a shame, because when you hear that Tony Romo was there in the fifth round, Tom Brady's not the value pick in the second.
Well,
he's a great quarterback. He wins Super Bowls in the real NFL. And, yeah, you should be a fan of that, especially if you love the Patriots. But you don't just go out and draft the guy because, you know, you have his fat head on your wall.
You can't draft with your heart.
Nah, you can't.
You know,
you can't.
That's why it's interesting that he called right after we just talked about all this. And that's why I asked the question, where did the Romos and the Staffords go? And he said fifth round. I mean, that's the
like
sweet spot, man. In a 16-team league. So the fifth round in a 16-teamer is it's equivalent to the eighth, ninth round in a 10-teamer, you know?
I might have said, screw it. I'm going to take 10 wide receivers and running backs in the first 10 rounds, and then maybe take Carson Palmer and Alex Smith and just see which one works out the best.
I hear you, man. Again, that's what I did last year with Luck and RG3. I took them both, and I was like, one of them's going to pan out, and I'm going to look like a genius. And that's what happened. I mean, you know, he's sitting there. He was number 7 overall. He has AP. That's great. Awesome. That's a
great pick. Yeah,
great
that was
pick,
smart.
Of course, great keeper.
Yep.
And then in the second round, so he's sitting there at, like you said, about number 25 overall. You know, he's probably looking at the Chris Johnsons, Steven Jacksons, maybe MJD, Steven Ridleys. He could have stayed homer to the Patriots and gone with maybe Ridley.
Yeah.
Maybe. Now, if he's up there, if he's in New England, maybe Ridley was kept or something by someone else. But those are probably the running backs that he was looking at right there. And, man, right now, if he had Romo with AP and, like, a Ridley.
That's
in a 16-teamer,
yeah,
Jordy Nelson maybe comes back, and he's got Colson. I like the Colson pick, by the way.
Yeah,
that
Colson
is solid. That is solid in a 16-teamer.
Right. But Ahmad Bradshaw, Tom Brady, and Adrian Peterson, that's just not...
I'm not touching Ahmad Bradshaw with a 10-foot pole this year, man.
No, man. You want to stay away from him.
He's never healthy.
Unless he's like your fifth running back, I'm not taking him as my second running back.
No.
I wish Matt called a little, or, you know, we were on air a little earlier. We could have helped Matt out.
But that's the classic example. You take, you know, you got to put aside the huge name quarterback.
Yep.
Even in a 16-teamer, put aside the huge name quarterback and take the value at running back, because you're going to get stuck with an injured guy as your RB2. I mean, that's he's in trouble. You know, he's going to have to wheel and deal a little bit, or make some good waiver wire moves, or maybe make a nice trade. Hey, again, if he's up there in what is he in New York? I think Matt was calling from.
Yep.
But he's probably got some friends that are New England fan. Maybe he can shop Brady and snake him out of some good players.
Dude, it didn't sound like Matt was going to trade away Brady. I mean, it sounded like he had a serious bank.
But that's another thing, and this is a real shady way to go about it. But, Bill, I'm telling you, in some of my leagues, I know guys that are huge fans of certain teams, and if I have a player from his favorite team, you can get more in a trade. You just can.
Yeah.
Brady pitching a 10 back there.
Kevin, how are we doing on time? Can we get to some undervalued running backs, or should we take a break and then come back with it?
No, you can get to it.
All right, so, Todd, quarterbacks, let's review. Matthew Stafford, RG3, Colin Kaepernick. We didn't even talk about Tony Romo or Phillip Rivers, but if you're in a 12 or 14-team league, no problem taking Romo or Rivers as your quarterback. Again, Rivers had 26 touchdowns last year, very undervalued.
Bill, I got Rivers in I got him in the 15th round in a recent draft.
And, you know, that's just because people think the Chargers are awful, but I think they're in for a bounce back here as a team. I really like
bounce back.
Head coach Mike McCoy.
He fits the bounce back. And at that point, in the 15th round, as my QB3, there's no risk.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer to me. So those were the quarterbacks. What do you say we move over to running backs? And with running backs, it's a little different. We have PPR guys that are undervalued. We have scoring guys, TD vultures that are undervalued. Let's start off with someone that New England Patriot fans should be very familiar with at this point. That's Shane Vereen. I mean, we just love this guy. He's our sleeper of the year.
Especially in PPR leagues.
Especially in PPR leagues.
Wow, that was interesting. In PPR leagues, Bill, and we should have actually brought this up with our last caller, where did a guy like Vereen go? What a fantastic RB2 he would be in a 16-team PPR league.
100%.
Oh, my God.
What we like about... Yeah, go on.
Well, yeah, set the stage here. I mean, the Patriot fans already know what we're about to say, but Woodhead is gone. Brady lost a lot of his top weapons. Vereen, I think, is a more talented, gifted player than Woodhead. I know Woodhead's a huge fan favorite, but Vereen is a talent, man. Yeah. And he's going to catch, 60-65 balls out of the backfield this year?
I certainly think he's capable of doing that. Danny Woodhead was a top 25 running back in PPR formats last year. Stephen Ridley doesn't catch the football, okay? He had 6 receptions last year, I believe 4 the year before that. That's a grand total, if my math is correct. That's a grand total of 10 receptions the last 2 seasons. That's certainly not good in PPR formats. Luckily, he runs the ball and scores a lot of touchdowns, which is why we have him as our number 10 running back. But the point is that Shane Vereen is going to be the guy that catches passes out of the backfield. Just like they used Aaron Hernandez to get mismatches with linebackers, the Patriots, we saw against the Eagles, they're going to line him up out wide. He caught a touchdown, lined up as a wide receiver. That's what we like about Shane Vereen is he's going to play a lot of different positions. He's a very versatile player. He's going to catch a lot of passes this year to go along with the rushing yards. We love Shane Vereen this year. He's going so late in drafts, and we think he could be so good. Eighth round for a top 20 guy. That's incredible. That is the best value you'll get all year long.
We have all the projections at ffchamps.com. We're projecting him to rush for a modest 679 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. Okay.
It's not a lot. You know, 600 yards, not that much.
Yep. And he catches 65 balls for 501 and 4 touchdowns. Suddenly, you're looking at nearly 1,200 yards, 65 receptions in a PPR league, and 9 touchdowns.
Right.
That is solid.
Yeah.
For an 8th-round pick, and that's where he's going right now?
That's incredible. Now... Yeah. You know, with Pat fans, maybe he doesn't go that late because people know about him so much. I mean, we're on Patriots.com radio. I'm sure everyone knows about Shane Vereen up in New England. But for those of you that, you know, we had a caller from California. We had a caller from New York. I believe we have some callers down south a lot. So for those of you that are not in the New England area, Shane Vereen's a guy that is under the radar right now. We'll see how long he stays that way. But you scoop him up in the 6th round, even if you reach for him a round or two early, he's going to pay huge dividends.
Totally agree. And I grabbed him in my one of my first drafts already, and I'm pretty psyched about it, man. How about we talk about what's going on there in Denver? It's always a hot topic of conversation, even going back to the Mike Shanahan days. They always had a stud running back in Denver. Absolutely. Now they've got kind of an interesting situation. You got one of the best passing offenses in the entire league, totally loaded at wideout, Peyton Manning under center, and you've got a two-headed monster at the moment at the running back position in Ronnie Hillman and Monte Ball. Now, why don't you, for the good people, Bill, why don't you tell them the average draft position of rookie Monte Ball and second-year man Ronnie Hillman, and it'll be pretty obvious where the value is.
All right, so here's what we got. Monte Ball was, what, a second-round pick, I believe, this year?
From Wisconsin, yep.
Right. So everyone was kind of jumping all over him because of the running back, because the Broncos' offense was so good. So the result is Monte Ball is going in the fifth round, okay? He's like the 50th pick in a 10-team league, so that's somewhere in the fifth round. But his counterpart, Ronnie Hillman, is getting drafted with the 159th. Nearly 100 picks after the rookie. Ronnie Hillman has an average draft position of 14. So, 159. That's somewhere in the 14th round. I can't even fathom why there's such a big disparity here, but it's way too much. And I'm not even considering drafting Monte Ball because when the camp first started, Ronnie Hillman was the starting running back on the depth chart. He knows how to pass protect, and that is just as important as running when it comes to Peyton Manning and protecting the Broncos' most important asset. Hillman's a guy that can explode for big yards, big gains, big plays. Monte Ball is more in between the tackles kind of guy. Hillman's the explosive player. Hillman is a guy that you'll want to target in your drafts. 14th round ADP, I'm sure that'll go up to maybe the 10th round in the next few weeks as we get a little bit closer to draft day. But even so, in the 10th round, no-brainer pick, grab Ronnie Hillman.
Oh, absolutely. And that's another guy I grabbed. I grabbed Vereen as my RB4, and I grabbed Mr. Hillman as my RB6. Now, again, it might turn out, who knows, it might turn out that Monte Ball wins the job, you know, and over time, and he becomes kind of more of a true RB1, and Hillman takes a back seat. But I'm willing to take the risk at the expense of a 14th or 15th round pick.
Absolutely.
It's a no-brainer.
And no-brainer. He's what, your fifth or sixth running back at that point? I mean, what's the risk there? There's no risk there.
I totally agree. I don't know. I think that we need to see a little – people are just waiting to see a little bit more out of this or something. I'm not really sure. I think they're so enamored with Monte Ball. And, again, he might wind up living up to expectations. Who knows? But they saw all those touchdowns he rumbled for at Wisconsin, tying Barry Sanders' record for 39 touchdowns in one season a couple years ago.
Not bad.
By the way, Ronnie Hillman at San Diego State, he was on a pace to crush all of Marshall Faulk's records there before he came out early. Ronnie Hillman, his senior year, Bill, he rushed for 1,700 yards and 19 touchdowns. Damn. He caught 24 balls for 300 yards and another score.
Oof.
So he's he can catch the ball a little bit. He's not going to catch 60 balls like Vereen or Reggie Bush or Darren Sproles, but he can catch 30 balls in that offense.
Now, Ronnie Hillman was a guy that a lot of fantasy managers, were hot for last year because Noshon Moreno was always injured. Willis McGahee was kind of old, but John Fox likes a committee approach, and Willis McGahee's now gone. Noshon Moreno's still injured, so it's going to be a Ronnie Hillman and Monte Ball split. And when I say split, I'm saying 50-50. There's no reason Monte Ball should be going in the fifth round, and then you see Ronnie Hillman going in the 14th.
Let's take a look at another split situation in New York, Bill. Andre Brown, the big boy, and David Wilson, the sexy, super athletic RB1 for the Giants. Where's the value there?
All right, so you got a guy like David Wilson, who you mentioned is the sexier pick this year. He's going in the third round. But the Giants are going to use a committee just like they are in Denver. It's not just going to be the David Wilson show, I promise you. Andre Brown is going to get a 50-50 split with David Wilson this year. Wilson's going in the third round. Andre Brown's going in the eighth round, the 85th pick overall in your fantasy drafts. And I'm telling you right now, Andre Brown will have more touchdowns than David Wilson this year. He may not have as many 100-yard games because Wilson's a guy that, breaks off some big plays, but Andre Brown is going to get the goal line touches. So when David Wilson's dragged down at the 1 or 2 yard line, Then you're going to see Andre Brown come in, and everyone kind of smacks their head, and he's a TD vulture. But you can use that to your advantage. Draft Andre Brown as maybe your fourth or fifth running back. It's going to pay off.
Brown is a 227-pounder, Bill. Well, David Wilson's 205. So he's 5'9", 205, David Wilson. Again, he's going to get on all the highlight reels with his 60 when he breaks one big for 60 yards.
Yep.
David Wilson. But quietly, Andre Brown's going to get the boring one-yarders, and they all count the same in most leagues. So
I totally agree.
You know, a third-round pick on David Wilson, I'm not even touching that. Eighth-round pick with Andre Brown, while I don't think he has crazy upside, if you're comparing the two picks, who would I take? I'm taking Andre Brown.
Yeah. The last guy let's get to, Todd, is Bernard Pierce from the Baltimore Ravens. We just saw him win a Super Bowl. As a rookie, he did very well backing up Ray Rice, but we don't know if he's going to be a real backup for much longer. If you draft Ray Rice, you should draft Bernard Pierce as the handcuff. We always handcuff our studs at FF Champs. But what I liked about Bernard Pierce during his rookie year, he had 500 yards in very limited action. He only had 100 carries. So I like his yard per carry average. He was involved a little bit in the passing game. But what I saw from him in the playoffs was the Ravens were willing to give him the ball and let Ray Rice kind of stay fresh for their Super Bowl run. And I think that's what's going to happen this year. Bernard Pierce is going in the 12th round. I'm not saying he's a better value pick over Ray Rice. That would be crazy. But for someone that, if you just compare him in a vacuum to any other running back going in the 12th round, he's the guy to get.
He's one of those guys, Bill. I mean, we always talk about handcuffing your studs, and this is a no-brainer. You've got an aging Ray Rice. He's got a lot of wear on those tires, and this guy is the clear backup to him, and he's young and promising, a little banged up at the moment, but still. At Temple, Bill, okay, 2 years ago at Temple. Again, this is college, I understand, but he rushed for 1,481 yards and 27 touchdowns.
Yep.
Not bad. This is a guy that was a workhorse in college. It's not just some, you know, nobody who just kind of, you know, meandered around. Now, he's not going to catch any balls. He's not a PPR guy at all. In three full years at Temple, he only caught 19 balls. So he's not a PPR guy at all. But he's a big time, got a nose for the goal line, and he can carry the load if needed. And if Ray Rice goes down for a couple games or, heaven forbid, for half a year or a season, this is a guy that can come in and produce at a very similar level in non-PPR leagues.
Totally agree. And we'll see if how much he's used this year, even with Ray Rice healthy. I think it's going to be enough.
I really do.
All right, what do you say we take a quick call, and then we'll go to break, Kevin, I promise. Let's go to Jeff in Bristol. He's in a 10-team PPR league. Hey, Jeff, you're on with the Fantasy Football Champs.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Big fan, listened to the last year, subscriber as well. So
love it.
Thanks.
Love it, my man. We need like a ding, 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 Kevin, when someone calls in and says, big fan, subscriber, and a listen. There you go. That's what Jeff gets every time he calls in. All right, Jeff, what do you got for us this year?
All right, so like you said, PPR, 10-team league. Just trying to look for some strategy advice for my draft. Obviously, some of it will depend on what my position ends up being. But, I got, quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, flex that can be RB, wide receiver, or tight end. Mm-hmm. And then there's a curveball in this one, and then I got three deep, which ended up being huge last year, and I didn't take enough consideration into it.
Wait, so, what's the curveball? I totally missed it.
I'm sorry, three DPs. Like, so I got three defenders.
Todd, is it just me, or is
no, he breaking up right when he says it?
As soon as he says the three curveballs, he breaks up. All right, say it again this time.
Yeah, three defensive players.
Ah, okay, IDP league. I like that.
Okay, right. Okay, got it.
So... So generally I'm thinking in order, from just watching, it's the same guys, we've been doing this for like 5 years, and it's just a redraft, but usually the guys end up winning, it's the receiving core and the DPs. So I'm kind of thinking in order, like get my stud running back in first round, then receiver, 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 and then go to my DPs and just take a scrub as my second, or try and get lucky late on my second running back, because if you can get three like stud wide receivers and three stud linebackers who are racking up a lot of tackles, like you're in good shape. Somewhere you got to throw a quarterback in there, so get a Romo or Stafford late. Get my running back in, focus on my receivers, and then maybe quarterback, and then go to DPs. I don't know. What do you think?
Jeff, don't pigeon yourself into taking those three straight wide receivers after you take that running back. If someone falls like a Chris Johnson or a Maurice Jones-Drew or a Steven Jackson or maybe a Steven Ridley in the third round. You know, you might have to roll the dice, not roll the dice. You might have to grab those guys quickly because maybe they're a tier or two above the wide receivers that you might take there. But I agree with you about the IDP guys. It's important to get those linebackers. I mean, you look at a guy like Luke Kuechly from the Panthers. We have him projected for 297 points, and that is, like, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 points less than what we have for Adrian Peterson. So, yeah, it's important to get those IDP guys early.
Okay. And then I also, this last question, I'm noticing that, you know, Roddy White is a little lower than I would have expected. Like last year I had Julio Jones.
Yep.
And he always seems to have this kind of nagging hamstring thing that always kind of comes up. Not to say that he's not valuable, but, you know, in my league for sure, Roddy White was the better of the two on that team. And I really like Roddy White. If I had both of them in front of me, would I be nuts to take Roddy over Julio Jones or?
Not in a full point PPR league.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, Roddy White had 92 receptions. Julio Jones had 79.
Right.
But Julio Jones had 10 touchdowns. Roddy White had 7. So the touchdown disparity makes up for the lack of receptions. I love Julio Jones. To me, he's the younger guy. He is just learning how to play the position as a professional wide receiver in the NFL. I'm taking Julio over Roddy. But you're not crazy to consider Roddy maybe a third-round pick.
Bill, I'm looking right now in the customized cheat sheets at FFChamps. And, you know, in a PPR league, we have Julio number 5 and Roddy number 9, wide receiver. So they're right there. They're not that far apart. And I think, you know, what we're seeing there in Atlanta, Bill, is kind of the old the Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison type thing. Remember how there was kind of a changing of the guard? And it's at one point, you know, Reggie Wayne caught up to Marvin Harrison, and then it started to be the guy while Marvin kind of faded off a little bit. I think that's what we're going to be seeing out of Roddy and Julio in the next year or two.
All right, and then last, I don't want to keep you guys, top 3 receivers in a full PPR league. Or, sorry, top 3 running backs for you guys.
Doug Martin, Jamal Charles, and who?
Adrian Peterson.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured. Okay, cool.
There you go.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Jeff, we appreciate your call. Give Jeff the ding, ding, ding one more time, Kevin. We got a Patriots.com radio listener and FFChamps.com subscriber. And, you know, you wonder why he knows what he's doing, because he's well-informed.
And he's playing IDP, which is definitely a curveball.
Yeah, and we got the IDP rankings over at FFChamps.com. We got it all for you over at FFChamps.com. And we have more coming up for you right here on the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com radio. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll get into some undervalued wide receivers. We didn't get to those yet. And also, we'll review the Patriots-Eagles game along with some Jamal Charles updates. That's all coming up next right here on the Fantasy Football Champs.
FFChamps.com. Extraordinary results for fantasy football dominance.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of this summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com radio. Bill, Todd, and even Kevin, our producer, hanging out with you for another 40 minutes or so here on Patriots.com radio. And Todd, we went over the quarterback and running back undervalued players. Let's get to some wide receivers here. Because, hey, wide receivers are very important when it comes to dominating your fantasy football drafts.
Absolutely. Now, the first name on this list, Bill, I don't know that it's going to apply in the New England area.
Probably not. Just like Shane Vereen, probably won't be.
More so than Shane Vereen even. Danny Amendola. Okay, now, from a national perspective, he's a pretty good value pick right now if you believe he's going to play the majority or all of the season.
Yep.
You know, he's got this, you know, baggage, this injury baggage that could, you know, depending on how you look at it, could be a little overblown, maybe, maybe not. But if the guy's going to play 16 games with Tom Brady, he deserves to be drafted higher than he's being drafted right now.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
All right.
Totally.
I mean, right now, where's he going? Fifth round?
Yeah. Sixth. Danny Amendola.
Sixth round.
Yeah, fifth round. Fifth and sixth.
Yeah, late fifth. Okay. Yep. All right, let's compare him. Let's compare him to Wes Welker of last year. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he could approach Welker's numbers from a year ago in New England?
Yes. 118 receptions? Probably not. That's the area where I think Amendola maybe has 85 or 90. Welker just, I mean, the thing with Welker was you know that the 112 or 118 receptions, whatever he had last year, that was a lock because we've seen him do it. I think Amendola could have more touchdowns than Welker had. He only had six last year. 1,200 right. yards, I think he can maybe have 1,350, maybe 1,400 yards, 8 to 10 touchdowns. But I don't think the receptions are going to reach 100. I think 85, 90.
But still, very,
which
very
is great.
Productive.
Yeah.
Very productive at a PPR especially. This is, he kind of falls under the same umbrella as RG3, where, again, 2 months ago, if you would have told me, you know, his ADP is where it is right now, I would have said, really? I thought he'd be higher than that, you know? I think it's an injury thing. They're worried about RG3's knee. They're worried about Amendola. And I think because of that, he's, you know, he's kind of in a tier of wide receivers where I think most of America is putting him at the bottom of that tier. And they're just taking other quote-unquote safer options. I'll flip it around. When I play fantasy football, I like to mix some safe picks with some high upside guys.
Absolutely.
And this guy's a high upside guy. I don't like just being ultra conservative. There's always a guy in your league. It always takes like the old players who have, they've already achieved their peak. They've achieved their ceiling. Productive players still. I like to mix some of those guys with some high upside guys. And I love Amendola in that regard.
And if you're in a PPR league, I think it's a no-brainer to grab him this year. I really do.
Agreed. All right, how about we move on to another great passing team, the Green Bay Packers, Bill. Now, when I say Packers, the first receivers you think of are Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson, but there's a third guy that you shouldn't overlook. Who is it?
James Jones, who led the NFL last year in receiving touchdowns, believe it or not.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, Todd, to think of Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL or, you know, a top three quarterback in the NFL, and then totally neglect his wide receivers on draft day, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, the guy's passing to somebody, and you know my thoughts on JerMichael Finley. Can't stand him for the tight end spot. So Randall Cobb, James Jones, and if Jordy Nelson comes back healthy, that's going to get all the action, similar to the situation in Denver. If you believe in Peyton Manning, you know Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, and Wes Welker are going to get the football.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to the Green Bay Packers.
Well, Greg Jennings is gone.
Right.
And there's a hole to fill there. Jordy Nelson's injured. He should be back for the opener, but you never know. You know, that injury is kind of questionable. And James Jones has proven. He proved last year that he can handle it. So, you know, you look at I don't want to compare James Jones to Jennings, but last year Jennings was banged up, injured. He only played half the season. But the 2 years prior to that, Bill, Jennings, 1,265 yards and 12 touchdowns, 949 yards and 9 touchdowns.
Yep.
You know, James Jones last year, 14 touchdowns, already exceeded what Jennings did. So you figure he's going to have some more targets. I believe, 64 catches last year for Jones?
That's what I got, yeah.
That's going to go up. He's a nice value pick. And where is he going now, ninth round?
Yeah, to see him go in the ninth round after leading the NFL in touchdowns last year is just kind of crazy. He's the 80th overall pick. So, you know, late eighth round, early ninth round.
Mm-hmm. You know, not a PPR monster, although he'll catch more balls this year. But still, the guy, I agree with you, man. He's a good pick in those late rounds. Who else do we have? Here's a guy that I drafted in my last round or my last draft, Bill. Now, he kind of is an exception to one of our commandments, right? Which is don't take players on bad teams.
Right.
But Cecil Shorts, Bill, a waiver wire wonder last year, his draft position is crazy right now.
Love me some Cecil.
Seventh round ADP at the moment. Last year, he didn't really find his role in the offense until week seven, okay?
Right.
So almost halfway into the season. He still had 105 targets, 979 receiving yards, and 7 touchdowns.
From week 7 to week 16, he had double-digit fantasy points for a guy that's on the Jacksonville Jaguars catching passes from and or Blaine Gabbert and Chad Henne, you know,
not bad.
That's pretty impressive. And to think that they didn't have Maurice Jones-Drew last year for defenses to kind of focus on the run game a little bit more. Without Justin Blackmon the first four games of this year because of the suspension, I think Cecil Shorts is going to be a top 20 wide receiver this season. If you're in a PPR league, you may want to consider, you know, holding off on him as your wide receiver two, but perfectly fine if he's your wide receiver three.
Totally agree, and that's where I got him as a wide receiver three in my draft.
Yep.
I would prefer if Chad Henne got the starting job, quarterback job.
I'm with you on that one.
I'm just not a believer in Blaine Gabbert, and Henny's not going to blow you away, but at least, you know, he can manage a game. He'll you know, he's relatively consistent by comparison to Gabbert, who you never know what the hell he's going to do. But Cecil Shorts is a guy that he's going to be there for you. You're going to be looking at Cecil Shorts, and his name isn't you know, a big name, but he's a producer. He proved it last year, like James Jones. Love the value in getting Shorts. Now, Bill, at the top of the show, we talked about a value play last year at the wide receiver position in Reggie Wayne.
Yep.
And wouldn't you know, again, America still doesn't believe in Reggie Wayne, despite what he did last year.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. All the guy does is catch 100 passes a year and go for maybe 1,200 to 1,300 yards. I don't care if he's in the single-digit touchdown range. When he's catching 100 passes, that puts him over the edge compared to most guys with double-digit TDs.
106 catches, 1,355 yards, only 5 touchdowns, but still, PPR league especially, 7th round ADP? Are you kidding me?
I mean, he's a guy that you take as your wide receiver, too, and you're happy about it?
Of course.
But with the 7th round ADP, he could technically be your wide receiver 4, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Because let's say you draft 3 running backs and 4 wide receivers. That would bring you to the 7th round.
Yeah, that's true.
Or if you go 4 running backs, 3 wide receivers, then Reggie Wayne is your WR2.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, it's not like they signed some free agent.
Darius Hayward Bay they brought in during free agency.
I was just going to say one that I'm worried about. I just don't think that Hayward Bay. Some people are saying Hayward Bay is going to, you know, eat up some of the targets. I don't see it, man.
We both love T.Y. Hilton, but Reggie Wayne's still our guy when it comes to Indianapolis.
Well, Reggie Wayne's the underneath guy, and T.Y.
Sure.
Hilton's a deep threat.
Sure.
It's a perfect marriage. It's kind of like the Michael Irvin, Alvin Harper days of the Cowboys way back when. You know,
yep.
Alvin Harper went over the top while Irvin caught all the intermediate routes. You know, it had many more targets. So I don't know. I don't get it, and I think all of you out there, keep an eye on Reggie Wayne. You might be able to get him as your wide receiver 2, 3, or maybe even 4.
That wraps up our wide receiver undervalued players. You can check out our entire list. We only touched on a few players here. You can check out the entire list at ffchamps.com. We have undervalued players, overvalued players, sleepers, busts. We got it all in the articles. You can check out the ADP matrix that we've been talking about all show, as well as on our FF Champs draft kit. The number to reach us, 855-728-7500. That's 855-PATS-500 is the number to call us. You can also email webradio@patriots.com. And Todd, I believe we have an email ready to go from
Devin in San Francisco.
Devin in San Francisco. See, I told you.
I like this question. I like this question, Bill, because it's not a who should I pick player. It's when should I pick.
Okay.
They threw a wrinkle into their draft, and this is draft season. We're embarking on draft season, where depending on the finish of their season last year, okay, you get to pick your draft spot. So they kind of have like a draft to figure out what position they're drafting in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's in a 12-team league, standard scoring. The first guy wants the first overall pick, all right? So the guy that won the league gets his pick, and he picks the number one spot. The second guy took the 5th pick. And now my man Devin is up, and he's got to decide what draft position to take. 1 is gone, 5 is gone, 12-team league. Where, if you had your choice, where would you advise him to pick?
First of all, I think this is awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
It is so cool. If you win the league, you should have some kind of swagger for the next season. You know, you carry around your trophy, you win the bragging rights during the off season. That's all great. But how about for the following year? Yeah, let's. I get to pick my draft position. Love this format Devin, San Francisco. Love the idea. I'm going to probably steal it in a few of my leagues.
We do it in our league, but where are you going to advise him to choose?
All right, so he has the third option, and number one and the fifth pick are already gone, correct?
12-teamer, yep.
Why not take the second pick? It's not a keeper league. Adrian Peterson's off the board at one. Take Doug Martin, man. I mean, you're going into the draft where you know you have the second-best running back, maybe the best running back in the game. That's where I'm going. I'm taking that second pick.
Can't argue with you there.
Let's say you take something outside of the top five. If you do that, then you're really more concerned about your second-round pick. Now, let's break this down for a second, Todd. Do we think in a 12-team league, do we think C.J. Spiller and Trent Richardson are there with maybe the sixth or seventh pick?
Yes.
Yes. Coming back around, who does he grab? Does he grab a wide receiver like Brandon Marshall or Julio Jones? Or if he was had that second pick, so you would have the 12th. I'm awful at math. Oh, my God, I'm so mad. This
18th
is like
getting, or whatever.
This is
giving
me a headache
pick
right now. So he'd have the 18th pick in the second round. So he might get Chris Johnson, Maurice Jones-Drew, Stephen Ridley, Alfred Morris, maybe Demaryius Thomas is there. I feel like that's a better 1-2 combo than someone like Trent Richardson and Brandon Marshall.
I like that, yeah. I agree with you there.
I think you should go with the top. I would stay in the top five. If you're a little concerned about your second-round pick, then take the fourth pick or take the sixth pick. But I wouldn't go past six.
Yeah, I'd probably stay in the top four.
Yeah. Right. Personally. I would go four. Stay with four. Because listen, you're gonna get Arian Foster or Jamaal Charles, and then on the way back, at least you have a little bit of an advantage over those guys with the second and third pick to pick in front of them.
Well, this is where the tiers come into play, Bill, on the FF Champs cheat sheets.
Right.
Love the tiers. Now, on my tier, right, I've kind of got, well, Adrian Peterson is in a regular standard scoring league. He's in a tier of his own. But then you've got Doug Martin, Arian Foster, Jamaal Charles. To me, I'm comfortable with all three of those guys, although I do have Doug Martin as the clear number two.
Mm-hmm.
But if you kind of think all of them are the same, then just take four.
Right.
You're going to get one of them, and then you're going to have obviously an earlier pick in round two. If you love Doug Martin, then you better take two.
And you know what? You have the advantage of having that higher third-round pick. Because by the time the third-round pick, let's say he goes with like the eighth spot in his league.
Yep.
By the time the third round comes around, it's a little bit tougher. You're not getting that quality guy. I'd rather have three guys in the top 25 as opposed to two guys in the top 20.
I do that a lot, Bill. Before I draft, I always try to foresee my first three picks. Not married to it, but I always kind of have fun, like kind of saying, how many players do I really love this year? You know, what's the cutoff before it starts to drop off a little bit? Yeah. And some years it's like 21 players, some years it's 25, some years it's 18. And, you know, it's always a fun little exercise I do. And I'm kind of wondering, like, who am I going to get if I'm at the top? You know, if I'm at the number two overall pick, right? Then he's got number 2, 23, and 26. Right? And I'm wondering, man, if I can get three of my top 20 guys with those three picks, I'm in good shape. So it just kind of depends. I'm thinking you stay in the top four, and it just depends on how much in love you are with those three running backs, Martin, Charles, and Foster, whether you take two, three, or four.
Right. Totally agree.
So I'm not messing around.
That was Devin from San Fran. I like that idea. I'm going to try to adopt it in one of my leagues I'll adopt it this year in hopes of making it implemented next year.
Yep. I like it too, my friend.
All right, Todd, quickly, let's go over Jamaal Charles' injury because this is probably one of the biggest stories in fantasy football this week. Jamaal Charles is a Kansas City running back. Right now we have him projected as the number three back in PPR formats. Love what Andy Reid is bringing to Kansas City. We've seen what Reid has done with LeSean McCoy and Brian Westbrook over the years, and Jamaal Charles, very capable running back, had 1,500 yards last year despite coming off the ACL surgery. He goes down in practice, was carted off the field, and Twitter just went absolutely bonkers saying that he tore his ACL and people were panicking. They already had their drafts. They invested their top five pick on him, and all of a sudden he's done for the season. Slow down, people. I mean, first of all, the initial report came out that Charles walked to the cart and then got in it and took a ride up to the hill to the medical training facility. Within an hour of the news breaking, we found out Andy Reid came and told the media that x-rays were negative on Charles's foot, so we knew it wasn't just a knee or a leg injury. It was his actual foot. The x-rays were negative. He went for an MRI, and the doctor says day-to-day. It's really this big story on Monday is a non-story on Tuesday. It's incredible.
Well, it's just such an overreaction, you know, and unfortunately we're, you know, when you work at a fantasy football company for a living,
yeah,
what happens when news breaks like this? So again, before we receive official word, how many emails came in to the FF Champs email inbox on this? What should I do? And oh my God, he's my keeper. And oh, I was going to take him number three overall. Relax, you know, relax.
Totally relax.
Now, it's a little different, and this has happened in the past to me, where your draft is that night, and, you know, the news breaks on, 6:30 Eastern time, and your draft is in an hour, and then you aren't sure what the hell's going on.
Right.
That's happened before, and if
sure
that's
has.
The case, then you've got a decision to make. But this early in the preseason, when news breaks at noon, you're gonna probably know something. You know, by the evening, people need to relax. Everyone wants to be first, Bill. They all want to be first on Twitter. They don't want to be right. They want to be first.
Right, and that's a problem these days because, you know, what happens is people start reacting to incorrect or inaccurate information, and then you have the situation like we did with Jamal Charles yesterday where it's just, you know, it just kind of gets out of control.
Yeah, well, hopefully, cross your fingers, we can get through the rest of the preseason without too many major injuries.
I got to rain on your parade here, Todd, because that is not going to happen. Every single year, a big-time player, and we've seen it already with the wide receivers, but I guarantee you, sometime in the next 2 weeks, we'll be right here on this show, Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio, discussing a player that went down with an injury either in training camp or in preseason. It's just a fact. It's the NFL. It's a violent game. Injuries are going to happen.
And we're going to get a call from Joe in Seattle saying, guys, I drafted Marshawn Lynch last night. He went down today.
Ooh, talk
what
about
should
chance.
I do? You know,
talk about some bad juju you just put on Lynch.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey,
you couldn't have said someone from the Toronto Argonauts that no one knows in fantasy football?
I don't know. I don't have Lynch on any of my teams, so I'm okay with that. But that's what's going to happen. You're going to get that phone call. Guys, my season's over before it even started. Draft was last night.
No,
the injuries
right.
came down today. What do I do? Who should I have handcuffed? And by the way, that's why you handcuff. I have LeSean McCoy in one league, Bill. Handcuffed Bryce Brown to him. You got to grab the handcuffs, my man.
All right, so Todd, that was Jamal Charles. We think he's fine. He's going to be okay. We're keeping him in the top three in PPR formats. There's nothing to worry about with my man Jamal Charles. And here we are sitting on Patriots.com radio, and we really haven't discussed what happened with the Patriots and the Eagles preseason game. We mentioned a little bit of Shane Vereen. We talked about a little bit about Danny Amendola, but how about the entire Patriots squad? Let's kind of just review what happened in that game, starting with Tom Brady. I mean, he looked great. Even with all the doubts about him not having Gronkowski, Brandon Lloyd, Wes Welker, Danny Woodhead, or Aaron Hernandez, five of his best receivers from a year ago, either not on the team or injured and couldn't play or, you know, in jail somewhere, he still looked great. He still looked like Tom friggin' Brady.
Well, Bill, if anybody was listening to our show last week, we said Brady will be a top five fantasy quarterback. He probably won't be number one, but he'll be top five, right?
Yep.
We said Ridley was – you actually argued that Ridley was a better pick than Alfred Morris.
I still believe that.
Circles, right? We all talked about Shane Vereen, one of our favorite PPR sleepers.
That's correct.
And what happened? All of them proved us right, proved you right. And now the problem with that is the whole nation saw that, and suddenly their average draft position is going to start inching up a little bit. There's nothing to worry about with Tom Brady. We talked about this before, Bill. It's not like all these injuries and bad news happened during the season or on the eve of the season. They've had months to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then you hope Gronk is back for the majority of the season. they're going to be fine. If Edmund, I mean, there's lots of ifs, and I understand with all the bad news that happened this offseason, Patriot fans are, you know, maybe thinking glass half empty right now. But if Amendola stays healthy, Gronk comes back healthy, two ifs, but, you know, if they're healthy, they're going to be just fine in the passing game.
What did we see? Two series out of Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Kevin, confirm, yeah?
Well, you saw one play out of Ridley where he took it to the house.
Right. Or nearly took it to the house.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean. He went 61 long.
61-yard run.
And then he threw a touchdown pass to Shane Vereen later in the first quarter.
So two series we got out of Brady.
Seven out of eight.
Yep.
Nine, you know, 65 yards, touchdown. He looks just fine, man. He looks fine. I'll tell you who doesn't look fine. It's Tim Tebow, but that's a whole other story.
Nah, we're not even going to discuss that. For Brady's receivers, what I liked out of the rookies, Aaron Dobson and Kembrell Tompkins, was he connected with them early on, and they didn't have any drops.
Dropped one, didn't he?
Oh, he might have dropped one. But Tompkins was like 4 for 4 on one drive. He had four straight receptions.
Yeah.
So I like seeing that. Both of them are sleepers. Anyone on the Patriots this year is going to put up points in your fantasy league. So you draft a guy like Dobson really late. You draft a guy like Tompkins really late. And, you know, you'll get rewarded because Tom Brady's going to spread the wealth.
Yeah, I mean, the one caller we had earlier is in a 16-team PPR league.
Right.
A perfect type of league to, you know, roll the dice on Dobson or Tompkins. Yep. You know, perfect type of league. Even roll the dice, if you want, on Sudfeld, the tight end.
Sure.
In a super deep league like that. You never know. If Gronk doesn't come back, you know, maybe Sudfeld becomes a decent pickup. But go ahead.
What we got excited about Shane Vereen was, he had three rushes for 12 yards, 4.0 yard per carry. That's not anything eye-popping. But what we liked to see was him lining up at wide receiver and catching a 13-yard touchdown pass.
Well, they matched him up on a linebacker.
And that's what the mismatches is all about, and the Patriots know how to exploit it.
Yep, they sure do. So now, do you temper your enthusiasm at all, Bill? I'm just throwing this question out there because it was against the Eagles, because their defense is just terrible.
I don't think it matters who the defense is. I mean, the Patriots were the best offense in the league last year. I see no reason why they shouldn't finish in the top three this year, regardless of the defense.
You think LeGarrette Blount's going to zigzag through the 49ers defense?
No. But I think Ridley and Vereen can.
Ugh. I tell you what, Bill, I was actually in the stadium for the Patriots-Eagles game.
Yeah.
And I'm watching, I'm kind of half paying attention for that particular play when Blount took it to the house. He's zigzagging around, and I'm trying to figure out who it is. I'm like, wow, how does he run through everyone like that? And then I see the last name on his jersey, and I'm like, LeGarrette Blount?
Yeah.
You know, he's a house.
Yeah, he's a big boy, man.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like it was some, you know, Jamal Charles, like lightning fast guy, or LeSean McCoy, you can cut on a dime and just burn past you. I mean, this guy's a monster.
Yeah, and I don't know what the situation is going to play out. I don't know how the situation is going to play out for the regular season. Like, should I downgrade Stephen Ridley because LeGarrette Blount had such a good game? I don't think so. I mean, Blount had 101 yards and two touchdowns, but it was against the Eagles, like second and third string guys. So Ridley's still my man. We'll see. Maybe you handcuff him with Blount, and if you end up taking Shane Vereen separately and you don't grab Ridley, then there's no reason to grab Blount at all.
I guess my point is this. Forget, I wasn't really trying to tout Blount as like some fantasy guy. I was just trying to make the point that a 247-pound man zigzagged through an entire defense and scored. So that tells you a little bit of something. I don't care if it's their second string or whatever. It tells you a little bit about the type of defense the Patriots were up against that night. Not a good one.
Right, right. That's true. But I don't think we should take anything away from the Patriots' offensive production.
No. I think it put a lot of fantasy owners at ease, and I'm sure Patriots fans in the general football sense were relieved to see what they saw, and now we move on. And it should be interesting, but I think the secret is out on the running backs, Bill. I think we were hoping maybe they would fly under the radar so we could scoop them up in all of our leagues. It's going to be a little more difficult to do now.
It will be. Kevin, you were on the sidelines for that game?
Which game are we talking about?
Oh, wow.
The one preseason game?
Sorry, I just got pulled away. You mean the Philly game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was not down there. I was here.
Oh, never mind then. I was going to ask for your opinion, but clearly it's
Brady
not
did play two series.
Yeah. Yes.
What did you think of seeing LeGarrette Blount?
I was a fan of LeGarrette Blount. I got a lot more than I bargained for. I mean, I did not see 101 yards and, you know, two touchdowns and a 51-yard run on a play that would look pretty much broken. I didn't think he had that in him.
I didn't either.
You can make the argument he looked quicker than Stephen Ridley.
I was surprised that Ridley got dragged down on that play.
He had the refrigerator on his back.
Yeah. You know,
and here's LeGarrette Blount cutting and dicing through the defense and scampering 51 yards.
I would have liked to see Ridley get into the end zone on that play.
No, you got when you bust through the second line, the second level like that, and you've got nobody, in front of you, you can't
have
run
to
down
score.
From behind.
Right.
I mean, it's like the kicker running you down, you know, a punt returner down.
Right. Yeah, I was surprised that Ridley didn't.
It's in bed. And I guess from listening to him speak after the game, he got a lot of crap from his teammates about that play.
Did he?
Yeah.
What did they say?
Deservedly so. He said the second he came up and went over the sideline, they were all giving him the business about being caught.
I mean, I bet Shane Vereen wouldn't have gotten caught.
No, that's a fair statement. LeGarrette Blount might not have got caught the way he ran.
Think he was inspired by running against his old coach and Chip Kelly?
He might have been, but I think the thing about this camp is that the three of them have such a healthy competition, they're pushing the others.
Right.
So I think that, you know, all of a sudden, if you can keep those three relatively healthy for the season, that's a pretty good three-headed monster right there.
Ridley ran a 4.65 at the NFL combine.
That's slow.
That's pretty slow.
For a back, yeah. But I remember we were talking last week about Blount a little bit, and I was, you know, kind of saying he could be used down on the goal line. He's the big back and that type of thing. And I still think he could be that, especially with Ridley's fumbling problems. But now, you know, the way he ran the other night, you know, it kind of makes you question, could he get a little bit larger role on this team if he does make the 53?
Ridley ran a 4.66. Shane Vereen ran a 4.5. Blount ran a 4.59.
Blount was a superstar at Oregon, man. I mean, until he turned into a knucklehead.
As a boxer or as a running back?
Yeah, he cold-cocked that Boise State lineman after the game, after Boise State upset him. But that guy was a beast at Oregon.
You mad, bro? I think he gave him a little you mad, bro, and then knocked him right out.
Yeah, he did. But I don't know. I really don't trust LeGarrette Blount for an entire season. Don't trust
now,
him.
Unless something happens to Ridley or Vereen, I can't imagine him getting a lot of work.
Yeah, but he's nice to have there, though. And especially, I trust him more inside the 10-yard line than I would trust Ridley or Vereen.
Why?
Carrying the ball. They both fumble all the time.
No,
you watched Blount the past few years?
Yeah, he fumbles too.
Well, I haven't seen him play that
he's
much.
Nah, he does.
Really?
He does, yeah.
He's a nightmare.
I just go by, like, when in camp so far, we've done the goal line quite a bit. Yeah. So, you know, we've had several weeks to go off of, and I haven't seen him put the ball on the deck once, and the other two, it's just, it seems like every other day one of them is fumbling.
Come on, really?
Yeah.
And what does Belichick do?
Makes him run, go touch the goalpost, then come back.
That's
touch
it?
Touch the goalpost?
Yeah, you have to go touch the goalpost on the other end of the field and then come back.
Sixth grade?
Yeah, pretty much that's how they roll. It's not like, remember the Titans where Denzel makes him run a mile and then come back? Hey, Petey! You know.
In 3 years, Blount has 9 fumbles.
So that's 3 fumbles a year?
And not a lot of touches either.
No. That's 420. Fair. That's fair. Then they have 3 backs who can't hold on to the ball, so that's not good.
No.
Yeah. Don't get your hopes up on LeGarrette Blount.
I don't know. Maybe 5 to 8 carries a game for Blount.
You think? Well, I think he definitely, based off what we've seen so far, he's got to make the team. A lot of people were saying, you know, he was a big question mark to make the team, but I think so far from what we've seen, he's definitely inside the 53 if you're judging today. But like I said, we have a couple more games to go.
Well, Leon Washington's going to be mostly kick return.
Yeah,
right?
he's going to be probably, I'd say, 80% kick return, and then maybe a little bit of third down back, but that's going to probably mostly be Vereen because
I think
just
that
with
too.
His, you know, his hands and his explosiveness out of the backfield catching the ball. It's not that Leon doesn't have that, but I think Vereen's got a lot of upside in that role.
Do you think Brandon Bolden's done?
I would have to say Brandon Bolden is on the outside looking in. If you guys watched the game into the second half the other night,
yeah.
He had he didn't do anything, first of all, when he got on his carries, which hurt him. Now, he is running behind, you know, the second, third string offensive lines, which, you know, is not helping him. But he's a guy that they're trying to multitask or multipurpose and put him on special teams.
Right.
And he roughed the kicker the other night. And that's a pretty easy way to get cut.
Was a pretty bad call.
It was a terrible call, but like, don't even put yourself in that position. It's just, it makes you stand out a lot, I guess.
Sure.
And it was one of those things that when it happened, we were in the studio here getting ready for the postgame show, and we all just kind of said, oh boy, you know, that's not going to bode well for him. And I don't really see him, you know, he had some trouble last year. What do you have? Like, do you have a drug suspension, I think, last year?
PEDs.
Yeah, so I think he's one of those guys that's probably, if you've got Blount, you've got Vereen, you've got Ridley, you've got Leon Washington, who's a guy that can play special teams at a high level that can also step in at tailback if he needs to.
So that's four running backs.
Yeah, I think those are the guys you're looking at right now. I think Bolden's on the outside.
You think that'll carry five?
And
what do they trade Blount for? They trade Will Demps for him, right?
Was it Jeff Demps?
Jeff Demps, yeah.
I think so, something like that. But I think... I just think that Bolden, I don't know, I think Bolden's, was a little bit of a flash in the pan, we'll put it that way. But
right.
You never know.
You know, so speaking Bill, of, yeah, go on.
Oh, were you going to say speaking of flashes in the pan?
I was just going to say, speaking of overreacting, last year when Bolden had that flash in the pan game,
yeah.
You know, all these people are emailing me, should I pick him up? I was like, whoa, slow your roll. They still got Stephen Ridley and Danny Woodhead. This guy, Brandon Bolden's not going to be around too long.
No, I mean, wasn't that
like
game
a week later,
like
he got
Buffalo
suspended
or something
games.
Like that?
Yeah,
I feel like it was in a game that they, you know, they probably felt that they were going to win. They probably felt they were the better team. And, you know, you're trying to, like, save some people a little bit, you know?
No, I think he was pretty involved in.
No, I'm sure he was
early on.
I'm sure he was involved, but I think, was Ridley hurt for that game?
Hold on, I'm pulling it up right now.
I don't think he was hurt.
No,
I think they were trying to fumble.
All right, at Buffalo.
Yeah.
All right.
I called it.
September 30th, 16 rushes, 137 yards, and
yeah.
a touchdown.
First yeah. of all, it was Buffalo.
Yes.
Right.
Next week against Denver, 14 rushes, 54 yards.
Ugh.
And then he never got over 30 yards the rest of the year.
Yeah, and then it was, you know, nothing else.
What I'm saying was, Bill's notorious for, how many times, I don't know how many times we've heard heading into weeks the last couple of years, this is going to be a Woodhead game or a Woodhead kind of a game. And he would, like, intentionally, like, obviously in passing games, you know, Woodhead was more potent out of the backfield than Ridley. But not only that, you know, he would use Woodhead and other guys like Bolden as depth to give Ridley a little bit of a blow, you know?
Right.
And, I mean, I think that Bolden game was a classic case of, all right, we're going to Buffalo. They're not that good. Maybe I can get away with giving Bolden the ball, you know, 20 times and giving Steven a little bit of a day off here so he doesn't hit that wall, you know? I don't know. It's just something, the way that I took it. I didn't think just because Bolden... You know, I was impressed and surprised with what we got out of him, but I didn't think that game, I thought that was going to be the exception, not the norm. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, the game was 52-28, right? Then Bolden scored in the fourth quarter, so the game was almost out of reach. So it wasn't like he, you know, lit it up from the beginning. They scored 7 freaking touchdowns that game. You know?
Yeah, I just, you know. I think if anyone, it's going to be him that doesn't make the roster. But maybe they carry 5 running backs.
I'm with both of you guys. I think that the other 4 guys have pretty definitive roles and have outplayed him drastically, and the special teams mistakes are not going to help you with the coach.
Friday night, Bill. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading to Gillette, Kevin's home, away from home, against the
It'll be fun.
Patriots.
It's a Fox game, so everybody can watch.
Now, Belichick and Schiano have some history, right? I think they're pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, they also have, like, I think between the two teams, there's like 16 or 17 Rutgers players on these teams.
And Belichick's son went to Rutgers.
He did.
Right?
Yep,
didn't
and
he?
Now he coaches here under Bill.
Right. Right.
So what are you looking for in that game, guys, fantasy-wise, Bill? What's the one thing to keep an eye on in that game from a Patriots perspective on Friday night?
Let's see if those rookies can hang again with the first team. Let's look at Dobson and Tompkins and see if they can come out
Bill,
and do
Bill
similar.
Hit the nail on the head. I think it's going to be we had Vince Wilfork in here yesterday on WEI, and those guys were late coming out of a break, so I got a chance to pick his brain for 5 minutes, and he was looking forward to seeing our, you know, younger wideouts go against a pretty accomplished Tampa secondary, you know, led by Darrell Revis. And I think it'll be interesting to see if Dobson and Boyce, those guys, can get open. Dobson's been having trouble. He had trouble in Philly. He had trouble again today against the Tampa corners. And it's weird because I thought when he came into camp, being a bigger guy, he'd be able to get off the line of scrimmage a little bit better and not get jammed. But he's having real trouble when these guys are getting up, chucking him at the line of scrimmage. He doesn't like it. And it's really affecting his timing on his patterns. So I want to be able to see him get off the line with a guy right across from him.
Jamming him.
Yep.
So I'm looking for something out of Dobson and Boyce, and also keeping an eye on a guy that caught four balls the other night in Philly, Kembrell Tompkins.
Yep.
He had a great practice today. He had a spectacular in the 7-on-7. He had a spectacular like one-handed behind-the-back grab from Brady. You know, quickly looking at the numbers from the other night, Brady had 7 completions in those first 2 drives. 4 of them were to Tompkins, which I thought was interesting.
Right.
So I'm looking at him. I'm looking at Boyce. I'm looking at Dobson against, you know, hopefully the number ones of the Tampa secondary.
Totally agree. It's going to be an interesting game for sure. We are back here on Patriots.com Radio on Thursday. And, guys, I just got an email. I think you're all going to like this. The ladies from Fox Sports 1 will be joining us for a over-the-phone interview. Unfortunately, they're not going to be in studio, but, Kevin, I do believe they're going to be at Gillette on
Friday. I wish they were in studio.
I think they're going to be at Gillette on Friday.
Maybe I'll have to go introduce myself.
Yeah.
I'll have to clean up well for Friday.
By all means. But one of those ladies will join us. I believe she played lacrosse at BU.
Okay.
So she'll join us on Thursday. Plus, we'll go over the preseason previews for Week 2. But we got a lot going on. Fantasy Football Champs is always on when it comes to helping you win your league.
Draft season's almost here, man. It's time to get your cheat sheets ready to roll because most of these drafts are going to happen in another week and a half or so. Usually after week 3 is when we recommend you have your draft. So it's getting here before you know it.
And we are pumped to help everyone win their league. So make sure you're listening to this show every Tuesday from 4 to 6. On Patriots.com Radio. We're going to wrap up this episode of the Fantasy Football Champs. You can check out FFChamps.com for a 50% discount for Patriots listeners, $29.95 for the entire season. It includes our draft kit, our in-season package. If you're serious about winning your fantasy football league, you have to check out FFChamps.com. For Kevin Collins, Todd DeVries, I'm Bill Enright. Thanks for listening.
From your fantasy football draft to the league championship, the Fantasy Football Champs have you covered.